Hi.
Welcome to Demipod.
Welcome back.
It's been a while since we've recorded.
It's been a little over 2 weeks.
But our brains are so clouded that at least mine is. Yeah. That I forget how we begin these things.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
For those
this
of
is
you...
what college does to you.
And yeah. We are recording this the week before finals. exactly. Yes.
Recording this instead of writing the 10-page paper I need to write before I can write the 6-page paper I need to write.
And I'm recording this when I probably shouldn't be talking this much because I did just lose my voice.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've been drinking a gallon of water. I'm very close to being done.
You need to throw a drop of nectar in there, my dude. Some ambrosia.
Which by the way, we'll get to the chapter. Hannah tweeted that this episode was going to be out later because I had lost my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's had sent me mind ambrosia and nectar, I don't know, or kept
an
me
internet hug,
yeah, whatever. If anyone did that, I thank you so much. I'm feeling a lot better. I am just tired because now I'm starting to work overnights for one of my job.
Mm-hmm.
College. It's great.
We're falling apart over here. We had to push it back from Saturday because I had been in a hospital waiting room for 8 hours the day before. Nothing bad. I had a friend get a new heart, which is really, really good.
Which, by the way, I get a text from this one saying, like, oh yeah, I'm just in the hospital. And I'm like, wait, what? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. But then I was exhausted the next day because I got back at, like, 1:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
On this episode of why sleep is important.
On this episode of college. Yeah. So
but that's not what you're here for.
No, you're here for some Percy Jackson. Speaking of Percy Jackson, what was that transition?
Yeah, we're supposed to be speaking. Of Percy Jackson.
Yeah, but I just want to be completely transparent with y'all.
Yes.
With how busy my schedule has been, I only was able to read one of the chapters this week, so I'll be covering that chapter. Hannah will be covering the other one. But I just wanted to be transparent with y'all. Yeah. But no, that's not going to affect any kind of discussion because I've read this book so many times. Yeah. So it's not like I don't know the chapter.
No. I mentioned what happens and you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because because that thing happened to me where it's like you get chapters confused, especially because the musical has really affected.
Well, so has the movie.
And the movie, yeah. But, like, mostly the musical, because let's be real here.
The order of things is a little changed, but we will let them do what they wish.
Yes. But that is, of course, has affected how I remember chapters
Same
happening.
As well.
Which was a very big surprise as I was reading this past chapter, which we'll get into.
Should we, in case you've forgotten, my name is Hannah.
Oh, yeah, I'm Brayden.
Yeah.
In case you're new.
Welcome.
Welcome. Should we talk about some news?
Yes. Let's do a little introduction question first.
Yes, yes.
So, I had a question written out, but then as I was waiting for you to come pick me up, because it's rainy, and my umbrella was kidnapped, I saw this post saying, flip to page 117 of the closest book you have, and that the first sentence describes your love life. So yeah. Well, obviously, the book I have closest to me is The Lightning Thief. We both have those. We have our own copies, but they're different. So let's both flip to page 117.
Wait, what's on the pages is different?
The first, well, I think it's structured a little different. Like, I think my font's
maybe
bigger. We will find out.
Wait, what page?
117.
117.
So,
get that good page flipping ASMR.
In the first sentence. On that describes your love life.
Well, I went to page 170.
117. Still gotta go back, bud. Okay.
Okay.
What is your first sentence?
Yeah.
So is mine. It just says
okay,
yeah.
Okay, it is the same. Yeah. Yeah. It's just yeah.
Yeah. How's your love life going? Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Okay. Yeah. But so, these questions are my favorite question kinds of questions. Also, like the questions of like the autocomplete questions.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we will have to do some of those next time.
Yes.
So along with that, so you know, our love life? Yeah. Respectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not our.
No.
I'm a homosexual. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Can this episode just be called Yeah?
Yes, it will.
Okay. I have one other introduction question. So, what character do you think you look like?
Luke.
Yeah.
I think I look like... I'm a bearded Luke right now. I'm like Luke when he goes on the run.
Yeah.
But no, I would say I'm Luke.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I recently dyed my hair red, so because of that, I'm going to... You can't... It's faded a little bit, but if...
Yeah, okay. It's red. That's the kind of red that I want my hair to be, by the way.
It's a lot of fun. It's faded a little bit, but I am our resident redheaded oracle, Rachel Elizabeth Dare.
Rachel! I'm so excited to get to Rachel.
Oh, yeah. So I'm Rachel.
But who would you be before you would dyed your hair?
So I have, like, brown curly hair. I'm Hermione Granger, but she's not in this.
Wrong series.
I don't know. Maybe we could, like, post a picture and tell me who you think I look like. Because I genuinely don't know.
I'm trying to think of who has curly brown hair.
There's a curly blonde haired person.
Curly, like, what?
Curly hair. Curly blonde hair. But I have curly brown hair. Curled like a princess's.
Curled like a princess's. Wait, so... what color hair does, what's her name? Grover's girlfriend at the end of the
season. Juniper?
Year. Juniper.
I have no idea. I kind of say that I look a little bit like how I pictured Calypso, but her hair is a lot lighter than mine.
Gotcha.
Is the thing.
Okay.
So I don't know. I have, like, green eyes and dark hair, so I've always been like, I am Percy Jackson's, I'm Estelle. I'm Percy's little sister. You've read the book, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Percy's little sister all grown up.
Yeah, sorry. Clouded mind right
here.
Or
I could look like, I kind of look like Sally Jackson a little bit.
I was going to mention Sally
okay,
Jackson.
Okay, perfect. Well,
but I was like going to say, like, is that,
no.
Am I calling you old?
No.
I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Now that that's covered, we have news. Part of the news because you know more about this than me.
Yes, we have shirts. I'm so excited about this. So if you go, the quickest way to get to this is if you go onto our Instagram, which is at Demi Podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's a link in our bio, and I don't know, have you done that with the Twitter as well or no?
I have not.
Okay, I will send
I
you.
Will.
I will send you the link so that you can do this with the Twitter. Because I don't understand how Twitter works. I don't understand Twitter.
It's
just
okay.
Don't. But yeah, so I put up like a spreadsheet, I think is what the company that we go through, and it just has our Demipod logo that's on our album cover, and it has that design on bright orange shirts, and I have one myself.
It looks really cool.
Yes. Hannah, when are you going to get yours?
When I have more than $9 in my bank account, I will. Welcome to college. Okay.
College.
Our second piece of news. There was probably a lot more news, but like I said, it's week before finals, and I did delete Twitter for a couple days because Endgame came out.
I still haven't seen it.
I won't spoil anything, I promise. But one thing I did see is we have... something from, Rob, I think it's Rokicki is how you pronounce it.
Yep, Rob.
His last name. So he, of course, wrote the music for The Lightning Thief, and our very own, I say as if we know her, Kristen Stokes and Sarah Beth, so Annabeth and Clarice in the musical, and...
Clarice and others, I should mention.
And, her name is Morgan. She's a swing and Be More Chill. They are recording the Smart Girls EP, and it drops on May 1st.
Ooh, it drops tomorrow.
So, that is tomorrow.
I'm excited.
I didn't realize that was tomorrow. That's tomorrow.
I hope they... What did... What?
It's. I think it's a song.
Yeah, but like, what did Hamilton do with like all the covers?
Hamill drops.
Hamill
drops. It's like a Hamill drop.
This is like a Percy Jackson drop.
Yeah. I still want a recording of Take the Weight, which is probably my favorite song from the musical that isn't actually in the musical.
I really want them to re-record the opening song with the original intro, because I really I like the original intro as well.
Well, you can always steal it off of YouTube.
I could, but it's, like, bad quality.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, because...
Yeah, I mean, it's a live recording, so...
Also, there's a really fun song in the original musical that I also wish they would record. It's called In the Same Boat, which...
It's Percy and Annabeth, isn't it?
It's Percy, Annabeth, and then a little bit of Grover.
A little bit of Grover.
And it's Drive going into Hades.
And it's really funny.
It's really funny.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, record The Littlest Minotaur, please.
Please. I want it as my ringtone.
Yes. Anyway.
Okay, so let's go on with our chapter by chapter.
Oh, that's all the news?
That's all the news okay. I gathered.
Gotcha.
It's been a long week.
Okay, so the chapter that we are on is, hold on, I Become Supreme Lord of the Bathroom.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6. I mean, same with the title.
When you had some really spicy food.
Hey, I have IBD, excuse me, okay? Okay, anyway. So this chapter starts right after Percy realizes that, hey, Mr. Brunner is kind of half horse, and that we now know him as Chiron. So Chiron is walking Percy through Camp Half-Blood, and I love this little nugget in the first paragraph where Percy refuses to walk directly behind Chiron.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because he's like, I've done Pooper Scooper Patrol over the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
That's hilarious.
I don't trust him. Yeah, I know. It's just like, funny, persassy a little bit. And as they're walking through, a bunch of kids are yelling, looking at him, sorry, and like whispering like, oh, that's him, like that's the new kid, all of this kind of stuff.
You ever seen the first Harry Potter movie when they get to Hogwarts?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, it's Harry Potter, Harry Potter.
Stop referencing wrong series.
I'm sorry.
A lot of kids are looking at him and are, like, whispering and making Percy feel a little self-conscious. Do you think any of the kids guessed already that he's a child of the Big Three?
No, because not even, like, Annabeth, really. I think Annabeth has her suspicions because, but even, like, she'll be talking about the Big Three and she'll say Poseidon so casually.
Yeah.
In later chapters. Not even, like, considering it. And just, I remember from reading when he does eventually get claimed. Spoiler alert.
We don't know.
Like,
the
we don't know
pivotal
who his
plot
dad
point.
Is.
Yeah.
Especially after this chapter. It's like, oh, he blew up the bathroom. I wonder who his dad is.
Which, by the way, that's a note. This chapter has so much foreshadowing. It's not even funny.
It's like, even the beginning part with the fountain. Like, oh, I wonder who his dad could be.
With the fountain. And also, like, we'll get to it. Anyway. So it, mostly they're looking at him because he just fought the Minotaur.
Yeah, he killed a Minotaur.
Which is a big deal. And he's walking through, and I want to note something here. He's looking at the farmhouse, and he realizes that it's a lot bigger than he thought. Mm-hmm. It's like four stories high. Yeah. This is a big farmhouse. And then he sees something like rustling in the attic window. And he's like, what's living up there? And Chiron's like, oh, nothing alive is up there.
I wrote that down too. Not a living, it says, not a single living thing.
Exactly.
Is up there.
Yeah.
Which isn't, he's not saying nothing's up there.
No. Yeah.
That's
no,
just
not
so
a single,
ominous.
Yeah. So, okay. Two things here. One, we know what's in the attic.
We know.
I'm going to spoil it a little bit. The Oracle of Delphi is up there. So, he saw something move in the window.
Yeah.
The Oracle can move around.
Well, yeah. I think it's, like, At this point, it's a gross corpse-looking thing, but it's like, definitely
can, like,
got...
get up and walk?
Yeah, it's got, like, an essence. He probably... Like, it's spooky up there.
Yeah.
It probably moves like a ghost. Like, its soul is probably detached from its body. It's just can I go to hell now, please?
Can I go to Hades now? Way down to Hades town?
Way down. They're nominated for 14 Tonys!
Go Greek mythology.
Our man George Salazar was robbed.
Oh, yeah,
he's
he
not even nominated.
Yeah, sorry, George.
Sorry, Grover.
Yeah, but Be More Chill got nominated
for one.
What?
For best score.
That's best score. Didn't Will Roland?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Well,
that's
then.
For a different discussion.
That's for a different discussion.
Back
anyway.
To, yeah, it's probably just... Let me out. It's like an angry ghost up there.
Yeah.
Maybe like a curtain rustled or something.
But that creeps me out. This corpse can move around or the ghost can move around. I don't like that.
No.
But secondly... Why doesn't Chiron tell Percy right away that there's an oracle up there? Because isn't that common knowledge around around the camp?
Maybe because he'd want to go up and try and get back to his mom.
That is a very interesting take. I didn't think about that. Because I'm just like, because I was reading this, I'm like, why? Because, like, doesn't almost everyone go up there eventually to...
They're not supposed to. A lot of times in this series, when people go up there, they're like, they shouldn't.
Okay. I think that's another case of, like, the movie or
yeah.
the musical messing with my
Well, he does have to go up there after he's claimed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone definitely sneaks up there at some point. Like, you're only supposed
Nico.
To go... Nico. You're only supposed to go up there...
When you're, like...
With
asked,
permission.
Yeah, with permission.
But people definitely, like, creep around there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not safe. I bet the Stoll twins have tried to, like, steal... stuff from up there. I think that's actually like a story in one of the off like spinoff books.
Yes.
I think they do steal something from around there.
What do they steal?
It's cursed.
Anyway.
We'll get back to you on that.
We'll get back.
This is page one.
Yeah. And so he's going through and we see the strawberry fields for the first time, which is where the camp kind of makes their money from because fruit grows really well in the presence of Dionysus.
Mm-hmm. And strawberries don't grow year-round everywhere.
No.
Except there.
So they're able to make a good profit from that, which I think is interesting, because also, just the idea of having the secretive camp with these mystical beings, having some kind of, like, interacting with the outside world without the outside world knowing.
Well, I mean, Hermes...
In exchanging
all,
goods.
Over all male.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just find that really cool. Also, I shall note that when this when I first read this section,
mm-hmm.
I immediately started liking strawberries. I didn't like them before, but I did that then.
Yeah. I really want some strawberries right now. But we live in Minnesota, and they would be really expensive to try and get.
Yes. Anyway, so we go past the strawberry fields, all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and Percy starts worrying about if Grover's going to be in trouble.
Grover's just trying his best.
Yes. And he's like, no, Grover won't get into trouble, will he? I mean, he was a good protector, really. And Chiron's like, well, Grover did kind of mess up a few things, like he lost to New York, which wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
He did get knocked out during the fight, and Percy had to drag
mm-hmm.
him, all of this kind of stuff. And Percy's starting to feel really bad about all of this.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's Grover's fault. I just feel like every group of half-bloods he's been with have just been, like, naughty.
The most stubborn,
the most
independent.
Stubborn, not gonna listen to you.
Yeah.
He's trying his best, okay? But Percy didn't listen.
Yeah. And Percy's like, well, what will happen? And Chiron's like, well, it's not under my control. Dionysus and the Council of Cloven Elders. Jinx. Just JK, no, I need a host for this podcast. I feel like he's like, no, they will decide his fate.
Mm-hmm.
Yada, yada, yada. And Percy's like, well, will he get another chance? And Chiron's like, well, says... Well, this was his second chance.
Yeah.
Which foreshadows a huge side story
mm-hmm.
That we'll get to later in the book.
Yes.
And they guess...
Can I note something real
yes.
quick? I don't know if you were going to go to this, but I thought it was interesting when they mentioned that satyrs grow half as fast. Like, he's 28.
Yeah, he's
28. But he's a teenager.
Yes. Wait, if he's half as fast, so 28.
He'd be 14.
14, okay.
Which is 2 years older than Percy.
Yes. I keep forgetting Percy's 12.
I know!
It's almost as if the movie cast him way older. Anyway, I just want to note a quick joke in here having to do with how satyrs age slower. And he's like, satyrs mature half as fast as humans, Percy. Grover has been the equivalent of a middle school student for the past 6 years. Percy just goes, that's horrible. Ha ha ha, puberty joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sixth grade sucks anyways. Oh, but...
yeah. So yeah. So we know that Grover's kind of a runt, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just trying his best.
Yes, he's trying his best. So, Chiron's showing Percy around more, and he's talking about the woods. Hold on. Before we get to that,
yes.
I should mention that, Chiron had mentioned earlier that Sally Jackson didn't die, but what's the wordage that he used?
She's not dead.
Not something about that, like not completely dead, but not here anymore.
Seen Princess Bride?
Yeah, not
mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
So
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
Oh, that movie!
I love that movie so much.
By the way, as someone who is homeschooled, that is the...
I've heard it's the homeschooler movie.
It is the homeschooler movie.
Yeah.
Like, every homeschool family watches it, like, at least once a month. It's not...
I watch it once a month.
Yeah.
On my...
Anyway.
Have fun storming the castle. That's what I say to my dad every time I leave. Okay, anyway.
This
is not what you signed up for.
No, we're just touching a bunch of other fandoms.
Yep.
Okay.
I mentioned my love for... No, just kidding.
Yeah. So this podcast will either be titled Yeah, or the one that we talk about other fandoms.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Percy gets a little hopeful that his mom might still be alive in the underworld, and that maybe he can do something about that. Mm-hmm. And so Chiron quickly shuts that down.
Yeah.
Like, Percy, let's...
Calm down.
Let me show you more. And we get to the woods, and he's talking about, like, oh, Chiron's like, oh, hey, do you have your own sword and shield? And Percy's
no,
like,
obviously not.
No. Like, what? He's like, oh, no, never mind. We'll visit the armory next. Which, by the way, in the book, Percy's like, what kind of camp has an armory? Note, I worked for a Boy Scout camp for several years, and there was a outpost, as we called it, which was like this old-time logging camp themed, and we had an armory in that logging camp. So Percy's like, what camp has an armory? My camp has an armory.
I mean, every camp I went to had archery.
Yeah, but like,
but this is an armory with like swords.
Yeah, but like the armory that I'm talking about like made axes and like hatchets.
That's sick.
It was awesome. Yeah, I worked for an awesome camp. But we get to the woods and everything, and Chiron starts talking about challenges and everything, and Percy's like, is that safe? And Chiron just goes something like, oh, they're not lethal most of the time.
I said not, I quoted it, not lethal, usually.
Usually. Chiron is so unfazed by death in this camp. That is terrifying.
He's lived for a very long time and watched a lot of heroes die.
Yes, but like, specifically at camp.
Yeah, I mean, you could die. For the job description. That's what you're signing up for, 12-year-old kid.
Yeah, you don't sign up for it, though. It's your parent.
You know that John Mulaney quote that's like, oh, you're 13? Perfect age. I saw this meme and it was like, the God sending it. So he, I don't remember what it's for, but the quote is, oh, you're 13? Perfect age. And someone put that gif under, like, the God sending demigods on quests, and it says, oh, you're 13? Perfect age.
Great, yeah. Finally, we get to my favorite part of Camp Half-Blood, which is the cabins.
Me too!
I love the cabins.
They're so cool.
I'll just read from the book a little bit. There were 12 of them nestled in the woods by the lake. They were arranged in a U with 2 at the base and 5 in a row on either side. And they were without a doubt the most bizarre collection of buildings I'd ever seen.
But they sound so lovely.
Yes. And so, of course, we get descriptions of some of the cabins. Mm-hmm. Each cabin has a little personality to it.
Yeah.
Which we later find out reflects a certain Greek god. And Percy kind of figures this out, but thinks that that's kind of like more of a mascot. He doesn't quite understand yet.
He still is not quite there.
We know more than Percy does.
That's not hard at this point.
No, Percy is kind of stupid. But he's 12.
He's very intelligent, but he just needs, like, I wrote this down because everyone's, like, later on, Annabeth calls him seaweed brain all the time. And it's not that he is dumb. Mm-hmm. It's just he's skilled, like, mentally in other ways. Like, he's very good at outsmarting other people.
He's also very skilled in drug dealing.
Stop it! I don't condone this. I don't condone this headcanon. It's not supported by Hannah.
As like a meme that was... Who did that meme?
I will look up this person's Twitter. It was so great. We have a meme. If you sent us this meme, thank you.
Yes,
it made
I
me
love
laugh.
This meme. Wait, is the person making this meme? Is that our Instagram friend?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh, we have multiple people that like our podcast.
Yeah, keep talking about the chapter and I will find our friends in.
We're getting back to the cabins, and in the center of the U, there's a fountain, some flower beds, and a couple of basketball hoops, which are more of Percy's speed, which, as he is a New York kid, that completely makes sense.
Get your head in the game.
Get your head in the game.
So, our Twitter friend, her name is Anna, and she tweeted, me trying to summarize the Demi podcast to my friends. No one. Brayden. Percy Jackson was a drug dealer. And it's not weird, like, half caps.
Yeah, which is my favorite, like...
Oh, so funny. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Making us laugh so hard.
It's just also, like, I've been memeified. We've been memeified. That makes me feel so good. The next step is...
You've made it. Yeah. You're a meme.
The next step is to get fan art. Guys, send us... Make us fan art. Please. Please. Make us part of fan art. I would love you forever. Anyway. My phone is going off. It's my doctor.
You're gonna attract the monsters with your technology.
Whatever.
Come on.
Come at me, monsters. Bring on the monsters. And so Percy sees the two cabins at the base of the U, I'll call it. And they are very grandly decorated.
Yeah, they're very bougie.
Yes. and he correctly guesses that they stand for Zeus and Hera, which kind of leads to this conversation of, like, why are these cabins empty?
I'm not going to talk about how I feel about Hera, because we are several books before I can really form that opinion.
But Hera. I picture Hera kind of like Jeffree Star.
Oh my gosh!
Is that bad? It's bad, but whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, I can't be bothered. I can't relate. So, Percy wonders why some of the cabins are empty. Chiron doesn't give an answer.
Nope.
As usual, Chiron fashion. He's very vague.
Yeah, he's a lot like Dumbledore.
Wait, does that mean that Mr. D is McGonagall?
No. Mr. D is Peeves. The ghost that
messes
with
him. Oh, I was going to say Snape.
Nah.
Who drinks a lot in the Harry Potter series? Hagrid?
No, Hagrid's nice, though.
Hagrid's nice, yeah.
Yeah. We will talk more about Harry Potter on our own time.
We get to cabin number three, which is rough gray stone studded with pieces of seashell and coral. And Percy's like, "Huh, I'm just gonna go in here." Yeah, and Chiron's like, "No." But Percy realizes that cabin is also empty, and he's like, wonders why, and he
And it feels very nice to him. He walks in and it smells really good.
I wonder why. Foreshadowing. Because cabin 3.
Yeah.
C. Poseidon. Anyway. Yada yada yada. There's more conversation. And we eventually get to Chiron saying, oh look, Annabeth is waiting for us.
Hey, the blonde girl I had met in the big house. The blonde girl. She's sitting outside cabin 11.
She's
blonde.
Yep. Yep. And Chiron kind of leaves Percy with Annabeth to be like, hey, I gotta go teach some archery? He's gotta teach something. Yeah, archery class. And he's like, Annabeth, you take care of Percy for a little bit. And Annabeth's like, okay, sure. It brings Percy into the cabin, introduces Percy to the cabin 11, and we get our first introduction about this guy who is about 19. He looks pretty cool. He is tall and muscular with short cropped sandy hair and a friendly smile. Wears a tank top, cut off sandals, and a leather necklace with 5 different colored clay beads. It's Luke. Our first introduction of Luke.
And hello, Luke.
Hello, Luke. I have a note that just says Luke is hot.
Luke is hot.
Like, he's
Luke
hot.
Luke is hot.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm 19. Luke in the books is 19. It's a lot better than everyone who thinks, oh yeah, Luke and Annabeth. No!
No, because guess what? Annabeth is 12.
That's a 7-year difference.
Yes. People in the fandom, stop shipping Annabeth and Luke.
It would only be okay if she was like 18.
Yeah. And then by that time, he would be 25? 27? No?
No. I added 9. It's 25.
25. Which, that's a fine age. Sure. But not when they're at camp together.
And I'm not saying that her crush is not okay, because I remember being 12, and Zac Efron has been my crush since I was 8.
Yeah.
So.
Like, her crushing on him is fine.
Yeah.
But it's not, he doesn't give anything back. Which, as he should, because he's an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Stop imagining that he is, because it's creepy.
Well, and I think the movies are partially to blame for this, because they made everyone look so much like the same age. Like, there are no kids at that camp in the movie.
And in the musical, too.
Well, the musical is okay because they don't, like, romanticize Luke and Annabeth.
I think they do, especially during the campfire. During the campfire song, there's some chemistry between the
two. She's just very crushy. She likes him a lot.
But I think in the musical, Luke, they set it up that Luke also likes Annabeth, but they also set it up that they're similar in age, which is better.
Yeah.
But in the book, stop shipping them.
Yeah.
Stop
it. I see you on fanfiction.net over there. I've seen your tags on the fanfiction. If you ever want to be thoroughly disturbed, go through some of the tags on like archive of our own.
I don't want to.
Y'all are freaky.
This has been my TED talk. Thank you. We get our first introduction of Luke, and he's like, I'm gonna be your counselor for now. Welcome to Cabin 11. We take everyone who is undetermined, as he called it. And Percy's like, well, when will I stay here? And Luke's like, well, as soon as you get claimed. And Percy's like, when will that be? And everyone laughs at Percy. And that's when Annabeth kind of pulls Percy out of the cabin. And she's like, look, dude, bro, you've got to do better than this.
She calls him Jackson. And Jackson. I was a little like, oh.
I'm getting Malfoy in this. Like the first introduction of Malfoy.
Potter.
Yes. And Annabeth's like, dude, like, do you not understand what's going on? And Percy, who doesn't, is like, no.
And I think she's a little, okay, when she first learned about them, she was 7. So it would have been easier for her to wrap her brain around it.
Yeah.
Because 7-year-olds believe anything. 7-year-olds still believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I ruined Santa Claus for anyone.
You ruined it for me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Anyway.
I was just saying, like, she's hard on him throughout their entire relationship, but especially hard on him in the beginning, and she didn't have it easy, but she had it easier when it came to getting her mind around gods.
Yeah. Also, she's hard on him in the beginning because she has this expectation that he is this big hero when he's, like, kind of making a fool of himself right now. Because, of course, he slayed a Minotaur. And so Annabeth is the one that finally explains to Percy kind of everything that's going on, which I think is very interesting because in all the adaptations, it's always someone else, like Luke or Grover, explaining to Percy.
Yeah.
But in the book, it's Annabeth. And I wonder why all the adaptations change that, because I like it when, when it was Annabeth. But she explains to him, like, hey, you moved around to school a lot. Like, you got diagnosed as, like, dyslexic and with having ADHD.
And he's a little offended until he realizes, oh, she knows me?
Yeah, because she has gone through similar things. And she explains that, like, oh, yeah, because your dyslexia is because your brain is hotwired for ancient Greek, and your ADHD, that's your battle reflexes. And all of this kind of stuff, and finally, like, puts it down to him that's like, you are one of us. You are a half-blood.
One of us.
One of us. You are a half-blood. And Percy finally realizes that that's half-human, half-god.
It's a lot to take in.
Yes. And at this moment is where we meet someone else who was a lot to take in. Because...
I can just hear the start of that song in the musical.
Yeah.
Meow.
Yeah. Clarice starts coming up, and Annabeth's like, oh, this is Clarice.
Daughter of Ares.
Daughter of Ares. God of War.
You got a problem with that?
You got a problem with that? No, literally the dialogue.
She literally says, Paul, it's. Shush, we're recording a podcast. Quiet your car.
Yeah.
I'm gonna feel really bad if that was an accident, but I wrote down
it's word for word. In the musical, yeah. And Clarice is like, we got an initiation ceremony, and Percy's like, you know what, I can fight you. Yeah, he knows what that means. And this is where we see the bathroom scene, which is very interesting because it's
Percy in the bathroom. I will escort myself out.
Bye.
I'm sorry.
And so Percy tries to start to fight Clarice, but Clarice is described
very strong.
She has hands like iron, and starts dragging him to the bathroom. And she drags him to the girls' bathroom, and he makes note that it is like this shed, basically.
Yeah.
Like it's a camp bathroom.
It's a camp bathroom.
And Persassy comes out even in the.
Persassy.
You have it too. Persassy comes out even in the face of Clarice, where it's like, hey, if this is a camp with children of gods, don't you think they could afford better bathrooms? And it smells and everything. And of course, as he's about to get pushed
able
into
to
the
afford toilet. Classier Johns. Sorry.
Classier Johns. Yes, that's the wording.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
And so Percy's gonna get like, what is it called when you get your head pushed in the toilet? It's called something.
I don't know. I've never been through this type of initiation.
Me neither. It's called something,
though.
It is
called something.
I'll look it up during the between chapter breaks. But as he's doing that, the water from the toilet...
Swirly,
yes! thank you. All right, I won't look it up. The water shoots out from the toilet and just drenches Clarice. And all of her friends.
And even Annabeth.
And she smells like sewage and everything. And she goes, you are dead, new boy. You are totally dead. But like, Percy says my favorite line.
It's so funny.
He's like, you want to gargle with toilet water again, Clarice? Close your mouth. Oh, yes. And
got
so Clarice
fire running through his veins. That kid.
Yeah. So Clarice's friends hold her back. They drag her towards Cabin 5, which is the Ares cabin. And Annabeth just is staring at Percy this entire time. And is like, you know what? Join. Capture the flag.
Yeah.
And that's where the chapter ends.
There we go.
Wonderful. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Chapter 7.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Back.
We're back.
I just drained some water because my throat was not liking me.
Yeah.
Sick. Yay. Anyway, chapter 7.
Chapter 7. My dinner goes up in smoke. So, the bathroom incident, everyone knows about it.
Yeah.
Everyone knows. And still, no one puts it together.
Even though it's obvious foreshadowing.
Yeah. He's not a plumber. He didn't run in and unscrew something.
The plumbers can't do that.
Yeah, so he's not a plumber. So, Annabeth is still showing him around, even though she's drenched. Mm-hmm. Like, she is soaking wet. And I don't know if Percy's put together that he's dry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and she's showing him around, forages, arts and crafts. It's basically a typical summer camp. I mean, the climbing wall does have lava.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, typical. Canoe lake. I loved canoeing at camp. Canoeing and archery were two of my favorite things.
Yeah.
I hated arts and crafts. Like, I hated it. I went to, like, Bible camp. Mm. So the arts and crafts were always, like, about our lesson that we learned that day. And I'm like, I just want to color.
Yeah. My favorite was always kayaking. And
I love kayaking.
Walking through our bog at the camp that I walked. Ooh. Yeah, I loved the bog walks.
Mm. So, then she leaves him for training.
Mm-hmm.
They eat dinner really late. Dinner's at 7:30. I just noticed that. That's a really late dinner time.
That is. Yeah.
Okay. So, he apologizes. And then she mentions, she goes, you need to talk to the Oracle. And Percy's like, what? So, this is a little introduction to the Oracle. And, So, yeah, and he notices,
yeah.
I'm trying to rush through this because Brayden has a really important phone call in a couple of minutes. So pardon me.
I'm just casually interviewing someone who that was on Broadway.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes from this chapter is, I'd become one with the plumbing.
A plumber.
Yeah. Page 95, I wrote... he talks about how he was going to say myths, about, like, because Annabeth is still explaining to him, like, the gods didn't just sit up there. They were still running around falling in love with mortals. Did you think they just, like, sat and did nothing?
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to say, but that's just a myth. And then he remembered Chiron saying that he might be a myth in a few years. And I just thought that was interesting because, like, when you think about all that he... ends up doing,
mm-hmm.
he would be like Hercules.
Yeah.
Like, that's how relevant he is.
Or Perseus.
Or Perseus, yeah.
Which is his namesake, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we are introduced to the term, like, fully introduced to the term demigods mm-hmm. or half-bloods. And Percy then goes, so who's your dad? And Annabeth has some daddy issues. We know this.
Yeah.
Her dad... is a professor. He's very smart. Very, very smart. She's got a stepmom and two younger siblings. I'm not sure if it mentions that. But then we find out that...
Step-siblings.
Yeah, step-siblings. Yeah. We find out that her mom is Athena, goddess of wisdom and battle. And Percy... Okay, I thought, why not? And, Percy's still like, so who is my dad? Who is it? He doesn't... No one's telling him, and no one knows.
And I'm sorry, Annabeth has got to know.
She's got to be putting it together. But she's probably thinking, this scrawny kid is a... Because Talia was her big three example.
Yeah.
And comparing the two... Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She explains more about camp. She explains that all the counselors are pretty much in college. And I was like, I'm in college. We're in college. We should be camp half-blood counselors.
I heard he was. I don't need to do it again.
Did you? Actually?
I was a camp counselor for 3 summers.
Oh, I thought you meant at the, like, Camp Half-Blood in Texas.
Oh, there's an actual Camp
Half-Blood? Yes, there's an actual Camp Half-Blood.
I didn't know that. I was just talking about the camp that I worked at.
I was blown away.
Wait.
You can be a counselor there.
Wait.
Over the summer.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm gonna apply.
Oh my gosh. I'm so going to apply. Do it. And then I'll come down and visit.
Yes.
And we can do a live podcast with a bunch of 12-year-olds. Yeah, great. Okay. So, blah, 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 more explanation. Yeah, there's just a lot. It's a lot of Annabeth kind of explaining. Then she mentions that the gods are on the 600th floor of the Empire State Building. And I, when I went to the Empire State Building, I asked for the key to the 600th floor. And the guy. So, yeah, I'm up there with my friend Sarah, who's a really, really big Percy Jackson fan, too. I didn't wear my Camp Half-Blood shirt, but as soon as I was leaving the Empire State Building, I saw a little boy no older than 5 holding his dad's hand, and he was wearing a Camp Half-Blood shirt.
Oh, it was the cutest thing ever. I'm so happy.
But we went up, and we were like, so can we have the key to the 600th floor? And the guy smiled and said, perhaps, and then turned around, and it was the most magical moment of my life.
Disney.
It was like Disney, and we screamed and like ran off, because this is my sophomore year of high school. It was one of the best things that's ever happened to me. If I'm being completely honest.
Next time I go to New York, I'm doing that.
The look on his face, it was a smirk.
Yeah.
It was the greatest thing ever. Okay.
Though I feel like if I did that now, the reaction would be different. Because I'm like,
they'd
an
be
adult
like,
male.
Stop reading these books. And I'd say, no, never.
I'll wear my Demipod shirt, available now.
So what you're saying is we're going to take a trip to New York.
I mean, you can come. Okay. I'm already planning one.
Okay, yeah, I'm coming along. And then Annabeth mentions that they visited Camp Half-Blood, they visited the Empire State Building and Mount Olympus right before the winter solstice, which was right before something very important went missing.
Da, 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 da.
Look at the name of the book, and I think you might be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
So right after they left, this all went down.
Which I find it very interesting that Camp Half-Blood does field trips.
They did. They don't anymore.
Nope. They're like, after this, no more.
No more. And Annabeth keeps going about how bad she wants a quest. She wants a quest so bad. She wants it more than anything. Mm-hmm. Side note, I sang My Grand Plan for juries.
You sang that?
I did. Yeah. One of the professors in there was like, can I hear you sing My Grand Plan? And I went, yeah.
Yes.
And I started giggling.
For those of you who don't know, juries is kind of like voice lesson finals.
Mm-hmm.
You prepare 3 songs. Once it gets chosen at random, you perform it.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know.
I got really, really, really great feedback.
Same.
So then Annabeth lets Percy go, probably so that she can, you know, shower. And she's training.
Oh, yeah. She's drenched in sewage.
Yeah. And he sits down and they have a heart-to-heart with Luke. If you've listened to the musical, this is their sign, I think, is a little bit kind of what this is. And he says, tough first day.
Hot Luke.
And then Percy's like, so your dad is Hermes, asks if Luke's ever met him. Luke goes, once.
But once was enough?
I met the guy once. And
once was enough.
Yep. And he says, we take care of each other. Little Ohana means family moment. Mm. There's another fandom I threw in there.
How many fandoms can we get into?
How many
this
references
podcast?
To not Percy Jackson can Hannah make?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Okay. That took me a second. I have another really funny quote. Luke said, hey, I got you like a toothbrush and stuff like that. And the quote goes, but Luke had welcomed me into the cabin. He'd even stolen me some toiletries, which was the nicest thing anybody had done for me all day.
Aww.
It's the little things. So then he asks about, like, the big three and prophecies, and Luke says, yeah, Annabeth has been wanting a quest for forever, but she is just, for forever, but she is just, she's trying so hard, and she's just so young, she's determined, and she's been waiting for this. Prophesized,
yeah.
Person to come in. And that's why she's so hard on Percy, is because he's not what she expected.
No.
And Luke's like, don't worry about it. Every time a new camper shows up, Annabeth's like, is it you?
Just grabs him by the shoulders. Is it you?
It's you! And so, then they go to dinner. And, I'm just going to point this out. Annabeth sat at table six with a bunch of serious-looking athletic kids, all with her gray eyes and honey blonde hair.
Honey blonde. So it's not blonde. Like bleach blonde.
No. But it's
her
blonde.
Her hair's not blonde. Her actual color is dark blonde.
Whoa, that's a reference. That's Mean Girls. Mean Girls, I got it.
Yes, Mean Girls musical.
Yep.
Because it's not in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And then there's they do a little to the gods. To the gods. Mm. So then Percy realizes that the food here is interesting. Like, you can just ask for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
What drink would you pick? Sorry, I've been talking a lot.
I don't know. I've recently been really obsessed with, this is bad, with watermelon freezies from Taco Bell.
I was just going to say, I would ask for a slushie.
Yeah, I love slushies.
Slushies are so good. McDonald's has slushies now.
They do?
Yes.
Sorry, Burger King. Yeah. Go to McDonald's
I
now.
I know. On page 105, we have, well, so then they, scrape off part of their plate into the fire as an offering for the gods. It's just really interesting if you've read all the books, like even the Heroes of Olympus series, because you find out where that food goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It comes in handy. And they had brisket, which made me hungry, and all I've had to eat today is coffee and mac and cheese, not together.
Living life.
College. So, I'm hungry. Brisket is amazing.
I'm vegetarian.
Oh, okay. So Mr. D stands up, they're handing out laurels. They're not handing them out, but they're talking about capture the flag, so that like leads up to what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. D says, also I should tell you we have a new camper today, Peter Johnson. This is the first time he's messed up his name, and Chiron corrects him, and it's Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
But this is the first mess-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I noted earlier in one of the earlier pods that he doesn't mess up Percy Jackson as often as it makes it seem, like, when you've not read it recently.
Yeah.
He has it right.
Yeah.
For a while. And then, either he forgot, I think he doesn't intentionally.
He doesn't.
It's intentional.
Oh, yeah. He's just poking the bear.
Yep. Then they go
and if you don't, understand that that's a RuPaul's Drag Race reference.
That's a thing people say.
But it's...
My parents do not watch Drag Race, and they've been telling me not to poke the bear since I was two.
But that's what I had in mind when I said it.
Okay. Then they go, and they have s'mores, and they do sing-along, and Percy feels at home.
Hmm.
Even after everything that's happened, he feels at home. And he goes to bed. He's sleeping with the Minotaur horn. He's just cuddling.
Just cuddling up with
cuddling the horn. So that was his first day at Camp Halfblood. The chapter ends with a sentence that's really sad. It goes, I wish I'd known how briefly I would get to enjoy my new home. And that's how that chapter ends.
Oh.
Very sad. The next, it's like these books have moments where they're really, really like happy. And then Rick is like, oh, let's make these characters sad again.
Yep. Let's make them have emotions.
Yeah. Yep.
Rick, why? Uncle Rick. But no, that's the chapters.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
If you think that a 12-year-old should date a 19-year-old, you have issues.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Annabeth is blonde. I don't know if I've mentioned that recently.
I don't know, have you?
Let's see what our tally is up to.
Oh yeah, you can keep in tally. What is the tally?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven times thus far.
And we're at page what?
Well, we just finished chapter 7. We are on page 107.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Luke is hot. Final thought. Thank you so much for listening to this.
My closing statement is yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Also, buy our shirts. Bye!
Bye!
The The theme music in this podcast is Take Me Higher by Jazzar and is licensed under an attribution share alike license. There's a link to the music in our show notes. This is a fan-created podcast. This podcast has no affiliation with Rick Riordan, Disney, or any of its affiliations.